No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, and Mr. Manny Randhawa of MLB.com. Dude, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for joining me in this super fun conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be on with you, man.
We think alike in all the best ways, and we think differently in perfect ways that kind of bounce off each other and we flow and things are going to be really good. Do you remember being, I can't recall if you were there last year for the Todd Helton announcement or if you were there for the Larry Walker one. Were you there for any of the Sabre gatherings that we had?
I was there for the Walker one, not for the Helton one though.
Yeah. I mean, that was in a way the bigger one because it felt like no Rocky is ever going to get in if Larry Walker doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen either that night. I mean, I thought he was going to be like, you know, just achingly short, you know, just very close, but not quite there. So that was, it was a surprise. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I had the same sentiment. I was like, he's going to fall like 4 short,
exactly.
6 short.
Yeah.
Because as we'll, you know, we'll talk about later on in the show, the public ballots that Ryan Spader keeps track of are more big haul than small haul. And then once you get those private ballots in, they're ticking off maybe 2-3 names tops. And, you know, if you're at 76% right now, by the final day that everything gets calculated, you might end up being under and unfortunately being disappointed and maybe have to wait another year. My question to you is this, and I know you're a baseball guy. So for this question, sure, maybe there are better people to ask. But is the Baseball Hall of Fame the best Hall of Fame in all of sports?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think it should still be bigger than it is. But I think, you know, I don't know all that much about the other sports Hall of Fame necessarily, but every time I see certain names getting in, I'm like, really? I mean, that it seems like it was a little bit, you know, the bar is a little bit lower than maybe it needs to be in the other Halls of Fame. But I think baseball, the bar is too high. But at the same time, in recent years, it's been all over the place. You know, I mean, I hate to say this because he was a good player and he's always going to be known for this. But Harold Baines, it's like the Harold Baines phenomenon where, you know, it's like some guys are waiting 10 years when they should have been in a long time ago. And then there's Harold Baines who's getting in with the Veterans Committee. So it's just too all over the place in that sense. But I think still it's the best if you're comparing it to the other ones.
And it's the birthplace of baseball, asterisk. We can look,
asterisk.
Think about that. Even the baseball, even the actual museum, the actual location of the Baseball Hall of Fame has an asterisk next
yep.
to it. So kind of fair. Yeah, I hadn't thought about
so
it.
So, you know, if the name of your town hasn't, or the name of the location of it has an asterisk, then maybe you should let Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and all these guys in.
Well, perfect timing. Let's talk about that because there are so many players that, as you said, you look at other Hall of Fames and you go, that guy's getting in. All right, maybe I'm missing something. It's a lot harder to know like who was a great offensive lineman if you're talking about the NFL. Mm-hmm. But there are players, as you said, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, McGuire, when you're looking at the all-time leaderboards, either for a career, meaning you played 15-plus seasons or whatever it is, no one has done what you've done, a very small amount, have done more. And then you look at the single individual seasons. These guys' names are on the list. And then you even have other players that are just controversial in general. And it's hard to know what to do about these players. And in a way, we sort of have our answer, right? Because you get 10 years, and if you're less than 75%, the answer is we leave it to a veterans committee to do it. And I don't know that there's a better way to go about doing this, but I imagine it gets sorted out in the wash at some point. Do you think that will be the case, that we'll live in a world in which Bonds, Clemens, even Manny Ramirez is in the Hall of Fame for what they did during their careers?
Well, there's just so much mystery around, at least to me, around, you know, how the veterans committees work in the sense of who gets to vote and why they're chosen. You know, our friend Tracy Ringlesby has been on some of those committees for a long time. I don't know how that all happens in terms of what players, what former managers, what executives, what writers get to vote on that sort of thing. So it's hard to say. I think that if Bonds was given another 3 or 4 years, he would have gotten in. I think the same goes for Clemens, because again, the changing constituency, or I should say the changing voting block cohort of people who are writers who are voting, would I think look more favorably upon Bonds than the ones that are kind of aging out, for lack of a better term, I guess. And so I don't know if that's the same thing is going to happen with the Veterans Committee, or how quickly. So I'm not really sure. I think there has to be a better way, just because we're still, you know, talking about the Kenny Loftons of the world. You know, Dick Allen, that was a wrong made right. Finally, I'm elated that he got in. Finally, it's too bad he got in posthumously, because it's, you know, it's too bad he didn't get to see it. But he definitely deserves to be in there. But there are other guys, you know, who it's like, wow, you know, really, Lou Whitaker is one of them. There's other guys that need to be looked at again. And that's the other thing. It's like, how do they come up with who to look at? You know, so.
And you know, that resonates what you said with Dick Allen, because he fell short a few times on veterans committees and also in the BBWA ballot back when it was 15 years that you could stay on it. It's interesting how you brought up Harold Baines, and sure, he's that poster child. And I think because he was first, there's probably other guys where maybe you go, Jim Cott, really? Okay, maybe. But the list of guys who are certainly in the Hall of Very Good, their first ballot Hall of Very Good players that eventually make it into Cooperstown, that list feels a lot smaller than the ones that are being held out. Like if you look at and say a small hall versus big hall, it's really isn't big hall, because you know there are these guys who eventually do get in, like a Dick Allen, but it takes far too long, and unfortunately yep. they pass away. Buck O'Neill is mm-hmm. one of those.
I'm shocked at how long it took for that one.
I think there was a big, you know, pronouncement at the time of like, okay, we did all this research about the Negro Leagues, and here's the last really big group going in, and he just barely missed the cut. And then they say, hey, Buck, but can you make the speech for everyone? Can you make a speech for all those guys? And of course he did it, because he loves the game. And then finally they realized, well, yeah, no, he deserves to be in for his contributions, not just on the field, but off the field, as, you know, the main spokesperson, the representative of the Negro League Hall of Fame, good friend of Bob Kendrick, getting the Negro League Museum started mm-hmm. in Kansas City. So it feels like that list of guys who had to wait too long is actually much longer than the list of guys that maybe shouldn't be in there.
I would agree with that. I think a lot of it's, you know, we pay more attention to the guys in the list of guys who should be in, I think, because of, you know, the injustice or outrage we feel when we see that they're not in there. But I always, you know, I'm sure it's not as easy as I'm making it out to be here. I'm oversimplifying it, but if we could just do one big sweep again of the guys that missed that ought to be reconsidered, all of it, just do it all at once. I don't know what that would look like exactly. It wouldn't be the BBWAA. It would have to be like a veterans committee thing, I guess. But just throw everybody, you know, have a committee that is established, your blue ribbon committee, whatever you want to call it, have it established, and make their task to go through baseball history and find the guys that need to be looked at again.
Yeah, and there's plenty, I think, even from the late 1800s, early 1900s, various innovators.
Just do it all at once, you know, and then an up or down vote on everybody. It seems simple when you say it that way, but I'm sure there's a little, it's more complicated than that. However, what better way to just stop, you know, having to have guys wait? Like if Kenny Lofton doesn't ever get in during his lifetime, like that's a travesty, you know? So stuff like that, and same with Lou Whitaker, other guys, it's like, let's not have them be the next Dick Allen where they die and they don't get in. And they don't get to see it.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and sort of research this, because now when we look back and you see someone as a Hall of Famer, they're a Hall of Famer, your mind doesn't go down the rabbit hole. But how did they get in? How was it a veterans committee? How many years were they still alive? Mm-hmm. And part of me almost thinks that, you know, in a way, the Hall of Fame has always been like this. It's always been very tight at first, and then the veterans committee comes in to backfill for whatever reason, because at the end of the day, those guys are still getting into the Hall of Fame. So while I understand that the Baseball Hall of Fame and museum is also a business, there is this sentiment, I think, of like, well, let's just get it right the first time, because there's always going to be new guys coming up on the ballot, and there always will be new players that you can realize, you know what, this player might have been a little bit underappreciated even in their time. Now we can put them in, rather than having this spell of, okay, well, Bonds, it's going to be a 30-year arc for us to talk about. And hey, that this is our business, so in a way that benefits us, but it certainly doesn't benefit Barry Bonds as a human being to have to wait that long for something that we all knew was going to happen and all know that it should happen.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like if we could just do a big sweep and get ourselves up to date, where it's like, we're not having these, I mean, it's fun to have the conversations. I mean, it would make for less entertaining Twitter content, I guess, but I mean, it's just not fair for guys to, who should be in, to have to wait, you know, or not get in at all or in during their lifetime. So I think I don't know how feasible that is, mechanically or practically, but I think they should do it. They should just be like, hey, we're going to, you know, appoint, you know, like they do with congressional committees and things like that, where the government, you know, they appoint these blue ribbon commissions where like they get the best of the best and they just throw them in a room and they say, go, you know? So I think that would be a good thing to do for everyone who, you know, they obviously have to be criteria, but I'm sure that they could come up with something fair.
It almost seems to like there's a mixed message by not having in some of these controversial players, because what it does, I feel like it can both lower the standard where, okay, well, someone's in theory needs to fill in place for a Barry Bonds, because, okay, he didn't do it the right way. So here's a guy who maybe doesn't have the numbers, but they did it the right way. So now this player is going to get my vote. And conversely, those small hall guys are going to go, well, you know what? If Barry Bonds isn't going to get in, that just means, you know, you have to have the numbers and you have to have done it clean, or the quote unquote right way. So now I'm only going to be voting for one or two guys pretty much every single year. And, you know, I don't know that it comes out in the wash. It's just, you get guys that will have 10 on the ballot, others that will have two, and you look and, you know, it's a small group that gets in each and every year. So it sends a weird mixed message, because when it comes to Bonds and Clemens, they were never actually suspended for breaking MLB's rules.
Yeah, David technically Ortiz, speaking, they didn't break the rules, right?
They didn't, no.
Yeah. The same goes for...
Yeah, he wasn't suspended, right? But
I don't think so.
But he tested positive when they were doing that early testing, and that information wasn't supposed to come out. So that in and of itself is, you know, very much a double standard.
Double standard. I mean, David Ortiz, I think his name was in there too, and it came out, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So,
and the commissioner that oversaw that entire period is in the Hall of Fame. Like, again, I am not, I think these guys should be in. So these aren't reasons to say like, hey, I'm, you know, trying to hold anyone's feet to the fire. It's like, well, look, it feels like
standard. The other guys should be joining them. They should be in there as well. I am all for fair play and good sportsmanship. And I think that what Bonds did was wrong. And I think what Clemens did was wrong. I think anybody who was, you know, cheating the game, there were technicalities on whether things were banned or not. I think that's wrong. However, is that supposed to keep you out of the Hall of Fame if you were already a Hall of Famer anyway? And secondly, you have, you know, it's a really good argument when someone says, can you tell the story of the game during this era without talking about this guy? And I mean, Barry Bonds, it's not even a question. Barry Bonds, if you go back into before the steroids, I mean, you know, go to his baseball reference page. He had back-to-back seasons of over 200 OPS plus. 200. That was when he was with the Pirates and Giants, or like when he first came to the Giants. And so all the video game ridiculous numbers that he put up later, in a way underscored how good he was, because he basically showed us what the limit of what a human being on steroids could do in baseball, because he was that good. He'd get one pitch a night and hit it out. And he would be walked intentionally 140 times or whatever the record is that he set. But again, if they were Hall of Famers beforehand, and that's why with Sosa, it gets a little dicey, because he was a good player. He's an all-star player, 30-30 guy, you know, good power speed combo. Was he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. And then he started hitting 60 home runs, in, you know, back-to-back seasons. So I don't know. McGuire, he was hurt so much, it's hard to say. So again, there are some question marks on some guys, but Barry Bonds, he was already a three-time MVP. Clemens is like the pitcher version of Bonds, three-time Cy Young winner, all of that before, they started doing the steroids. And we have documentation of when they did, ironically, because of the legal things that they were part of. So there's evidence of when they started. So fine, take all that away. You're telling me they're not Hall of Famers, then okay. But I think they clearly were.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you said, can you tell the story of baseball without this player? And I always think, not necessarily of my own devil's advocate, but like, what is everybody else saying? What is everybody else thinking? And they're going, well, Manny, Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. You can't tell the story of baseball without him.
He should be.
That so, would be. See, you know. And I differ on that. I don't think he should be. But I'll say this, like, he is the asterisk. Pete Rose is the asterisk. He is the exception because he got a lifetime ban. He broke the rules, had a lifetime ban. Bonds didn't break the rules, doesn't have a lifetime ban. So that is, again, this double standard. That's where if Rose point. Is the exception to the rule, Bonds isn't applied to that. That rule doesn't apply to Bonds and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on the other side, they could say, well, he got his 10 years, you know, on the ballot. So, you know, he got his chance with the writers and he'll get his chance with the Veterans Committee, we assume, at some point. And, you know, so, and same goes for Clemens. So, I mean, it's so complicated. They really made it a mess. Those guys, Bonds and Clemens and all those guys, they made it a mess for everybody, you know? So it is what it is. Doesn't mean they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the ramifications of Bonds and Clemens being the two guys at the top with the PEDs, I think it's really going to be 30 years. You know, the more I think about it, the more we talk, where it'll take that long, because as you said, hey, blue ribbon panel, let's get all the guys in that should be in. I feel like that's what the Veterans Committees are going to be doing now going forward is, do we have to put Bonds on this ballot? Because even just getting on that veterans ballot, so to speak, of eight players is a major hurdle just to get onto it. So
that's why I think they should just, you know, stop limiting it like that. And even if it's just a one-time thing, just go after everyone who needs to be looked at again and give them a good look and then kind of clean the slate a little bit. And then moving forward, you know, that's the other thing too, is like you mentioned it earlier, that it's just two different ways to get into the Hall of Fame. And they're so different. I've talked to a Hall of Famer who said, I'm glad I got in with the writers, because it feels different when the writers vote you in than it does if you get in by, it's almost like a backdoor, the Veterans Committee to some people. And even some players, I think. So there needs to be, I think something needs to be done about that too. There needs to be a uniform way to do this. You know, I don't know what that is. The answers aren't easy, but I don't think it should be done the way it's done, because it's just two completely different voting groups and two completely different ways of voting, where you got rules, certain rules for the BBWAA and their balloting, and then you got certain rules for the Veterans Committee.
But then, Manny, what would we talk about in the off season?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like we're hard pressed from all sides. If we get what we want here, then it's like, well, what are we going to talk about? You know, it's tough. But that's, you know, then again, you know, the fact that these are difficult questions make it worth talking about. Whatever happens, regardless, whatever happens.
We also live in a time now too where who you are off the field has a lot of cachet, has a lot of weight. Like, we all know Ty Cobb did a lot of bad things. He was still elected as part of the first class of Hall of Famers in 1936, but it's not 1936 anymore, right? The toothpaste is out of the container. Who you are as a person is almost more, well, it is more important now than it was then, but it's just as important as, you know, your statistics when you were on the field. And so, you know, there are other guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame right now that, you know, weren't tied to PEDs at all, but we're controversial figures and continue to be that way. And
I think that's why Dick Allen, that's why it took so long for Dick Allen. A lot of the writers that just didn't like him. And I hate that. I think that it's a baseball Hall of Fame. So the best players should be in there. It's pretty simple, I think. There's a character clause and everything else, but I think that's been weaponized a little bit up to the point where we're keeping people out because where do you draw the line? If you're a murderer or something, you know, if the Ray Lewis situation happened, I'm not passing judgment on Larry Lewis, but if the Ray Lewis situation happened where he was implicated in some sort of crime, serious crime, if that happened in baseball, that's a different story. But, you know, where it comes to the things like with Bonds and Clemens and all that, a lot of people, let's face it, Barry Bonds, if he was a little nicer to the writers, he would definitely have made it on the writers' ballot because he wasn't that far off. I mean, he was in the 60s, right? Or the low or the higher 50s. So it wasn't like he was so far off that he never stood a chance. Like, you know, what we're seeing with A-Rod, I don't know if they'll ever crack 50. But I don't think if you're a writer, like when we get our votes, right? I think you're probably what, like 5 years away or something like that. And I'm somewhere three or four years away. When we get our votes, you know, or I can only speak for myself. When I get my vote, I'm not going to care if a guy was a jerk to me. I can't. I got to leave that at the door and say, does he belong in the Hall of Fame or not? I could weaponize that character clause by saying, man, he was a jerk, so I'm just going to use this clause here and make it all about that. And I'm not going to vote for him. But I think that's wrong. I think it's a baseball Hall of Fame. Best players belong in there. I'm glad Dick Allen finally got in, but he should have been in a long time ago. And it was a lot of it, I think, was because he was a controversial character.
And that, and, you know, we also, I could go down so many rabbit holes with that. That's good in theory that you would vote for someone that wasn't nice to you. Obviously, you don't have to name names, but is there someone that you're like, you know what, this guy's got a shot and I am going to actually have to live through this moment? Is that going to be a real scenario for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. But I think now we have a system in place with these public ballots that, okay, let's see what kind of person you are or kind of voter you are, because now we see, thanks to Ryan Spader's Baseball Hall of Fame tracker.
Thibodeau. Spader's the other guy. Yeah.
And one of the things that actually came out of the last BBWA meeting we had at the winter meetings, and I'm not sure how public this has totally been made, but there could be some changes that may come about with the ballots and what's made public, because I think more writers than not want it to be a uniform rule of everyone, your vote is public and not your choice. Like, let's make it all one way and not a choice. Like, because that's what it should be, partially because there are, again, a good majority or a good large group of active writers who are there at the ballpark doing their job. They're okay with being public. Like, this is part of your responsibility.
You should be okay with it. And I think that I'm totally for that, because it's a heavy responsibility, and there need to be deterrents in place so that people take it seriously. Like, you can't just be like, you know, just give it a cursory look and it's like, yeah, this guy looks like Hall of Famer to me and blah, blah, blah. I think if we learn anything in the last few years, it's that maybe the last 10 years, it's that, there are a lot of guys who get overlooked because people don't dig hard enough. And once people start digging hard enough and listening to the arguments for and against, they sometimes change their minds, and that's okay. And that should be a part of the process. Everyone should be willing and open-minded enough to change their minds if they see convincing evidence that this person should be a Hall of Famer. And I think if you have every ballot, you know, regardless of whether you want it to be or not, you know, being posted out there, you'll think twice before being lax about, you know, how you go about your process of deciding.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of voters that don't really care to be lumped in with those people who are private, and that one guy who decided, I'm not going to vote for Derek Jeter and I don't want you to know who I am.
And see, that's so the other thing, right? I mean, that'll make people think twice about doing that sort of thing as well.
It hurts the reputation in many ways of the BBWAA. So you know what? Let's see if we can avoid that. And then if you do want to say no to Derek Jeter, then you said it. We all know who it is. And, you know, maybe get a couple, you know, nasty messages.
Yeah, that's a great point. It doesn't blanket it across everybody and kind of put a cloud over the whole organization or association. If we know who it was, we can say, hey, you know, this is the guy. If anybody's credibility is hurt by it, it should be that guy or that gal. It should be that person who actually did make that call for themselves.
Go ahead and plug away. Let folks know where they can check your stuff out at. And as well as where they can get a copy of Blake Street Bombers. Fantastic book.
Thank you. MLB.com is who I write for. So usually, especially this time of year, you'll see a lot on the homepage there. And then Manny on MLB, I'll put my stuff up on Twitter or X, whichever you prefer. Blake Street Bombers, just go to Amazon.com. And if you type in Blake Street Bombers, the first result will be the book. So
at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, or at Rockies Insider, anywhere you consume those social medias. Manny, I appreciate you joining me and giving me plenty of momentum for the rest of the week.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. I like to say it, just like when it comes to starting pitching or the next day's starting pitcher, my momentum is only as good as my next show. So I'll talk to everybody then.